But the subject this morning is ye which are spiritual. And I'm going to be honest now. And we classify ourselves even by the way we look at our trials and troubles and circumstances that happen. We classify ourselves how we respond to it. A spiritual person understands that that fire was not designed to hurt us, but to help us. But someone that's lost, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're just wondering when they're going to get out of a mess. But I'm thankful this morning, he's worth trusting. I also want to say this morning, if you happen to be in this building and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to say this as kindly as I know how to say it. You are not living yet. You're just merely existing. You're merely existing. You've not entered into all that God has for you because all of life is in Christ. And he comes to give life. He came to give life. And just not life, he came to give life more abundantly. So I hope and pray this morning that you'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you today. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look in the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. If you'd go ahead and open there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll begin there. If any of you are, by the way, I hope no visitors will leave today until I can meet you. And even if you're a returning visitor, I'd love to be able to speak to you, my wife and I. And we're so honored that all of you are here. We're honored that you've made the decision to be here with us today. I want to say that I've started this series of messages on ye which are spiritual. We've looked at this at length. We're going to continue to look at it at length. But I'm going to ask you before I pray, would you really ask the Lord this morning for us to be willing to understand and to listen to the words? I have to say, as verse 4 in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words." Now, I could get up here and I could tell jokes for 35 minutes, and I could entice you to laugh. And I have some corny jokes that all of you would laugh, but that's not our purpose here today. I'm not here just to entertain. Our children entertain from daylight to dark. We're entertained, and most time we lose interest in something unless it's enticing or unless it's entertaining to us. Well, he's a boring speaker. Well, I'm going to do my best not to be a boring speaker, but I'm going to ask you to do your best not to be a boring listener. Don't be a boring listener. If you're a Christian and something resonates with you, it won't hurt you every once in a while to put a smile on your face and say amen. If it's something that you know has convicted you, it wouldn't be too bad if you went, "Oh, me." Of course, you know I'm joking about that. And see, I'm trying right there and not a one of you laughed. Oh, boy. No, if you get convicted, look, you don't have to let anybody know it. Just say yes to the Lord. Be honest with the Lord this morning. It doesn't matter if I know. It doesn't matter if anybody in this building knows. But I tell you right now, we just need to be honest and yielded and yielded and submissive to the Lord today. Because I can promise you this, he has your best interest in mind. I promise you that. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I ask you now to do what I cannot do. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I realize the task in front of me is impossible. And Lord, I'm saying to you and to all of these people that I'm inadequate. But Lord, you're not. So Lord, I'm yielding to you today. I'm asking you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God for these next few moments. And I pray that your word will do what you intend for it to do in all of our hearts. Help us all to be submissive listeners. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I just read verse 4. My speech and any preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Mark it. In the wisdom of men. Our confidence should not be in the wisdom of men. By the way, men lie to us. even in their best state. Look, and look, I don't desire to fail you, but because of my human capabilities are limited, I will fail you. So we cannot just rely on man's wisdom. What are we relying on? But we want to rely on the power of God. Look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now that word means mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world. See the theme? Not the wisdom of this world, not man's wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There it is. We want the wisdom of God. But God says it can be a mystery. Then the Bible says, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I want you to notice verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here's your first classification. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Then notice verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then the next qualification, the next classification is verse 1. There's a carnal, but and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So we've been talking about these three classifications which all human beings fall into. You have the natural man, you have a carnal Christian, and then you have the spiritual. Now, I cannot classify you. You cannot classify me. We like to classify people, say, I'll tell you right now, that person's got something wrong with him, or I'll tell you right now. No, we classify ourselves by the way we receive and respond to this godly wisdom that God reveals to us and the truth of God's Word by His Word, but through His Spirit. So we classify ourselves what we do with truth. For instance, the natural man. Now here's what the natural man says. Okay, here's a natural man. They're lost. They've never been saved. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never put faith in Christ. And here's one of the ways you can tell someone that's natural. Number one, they don't understand the things of God, nor do they care. But number two, they think they're foolish. See, you know there are people today that think we are absolutely crazy and foolish and dumb to be taking our Sunday mornings and being in this building together, worshiping and reading God's Word and hearing preaching. There's people that think we're crazy. They think not only are we crazy, they think that's the stupidest thing in the world. But see, the reason we don't need to get mad at those people, we need to understand they don't understand what we understand. They don't have the Spirit of God, so God tells us, a natural man that's never been born to the Spirit of God, he does not have the Spirit inside of him, so I'm going to just say it like this, he doesn't or she doesn't know any better. They don't know any better. But number two, we find the carnal Christian here in chapter 3. He says, can I not speak to you with meat? In other words, he said, I can't give you strong things because here's what he said, you can't take it. Why? You're going to get offended. You're going to get mad. Then there's other characteristics of a carnal Christian. There's so much division and strife and envying in their life. He said, are you not carnal? So a carnal Christian is someone that has trusted Christ as their Savior. They know the Lord Jesus Christ, their first Savior. The Holy Spirit indwells them, and He is trying to reveal truth to them, but that carnal Christian is not interested in the truth and yielding to the truth. Here's what they're interested in. They're interested in their feelings and their flesh. They're letting their flesh dominate their life instead of walking in the Spirit. Does that make sense? For instance, it's like this. Okay, things are going to happen to me in life. Okay, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. I know what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. I know what the Bible teaches about restoring a relationship. I know what the Bible teaches about all of these things, that I'm not supposed to envy. I'm not supposed to have division in my life. But if the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me and lead me in that way, do you know how I can stop Him from doing that? Just say no. That's not how I feel, Lord. I don't care what your word says. This is how I feel. I'm going to keep holding a grudge. Well, you've just become carnal. Why? Because you're letting your feelings and your flesh dominate you, and you're not yielding to the truth of God's word. Now, we've went into that in detail in the last few messages. We've taken Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and have expounded on that and expounded on that. And I'm not going to do it anymore because I feel like I'm beating you over the head with it. But he said, ye which are spiritual, if someone has been taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. There's the classification. You will not do the next things if you're not spiritual. You're not going to restore the marriage. You're not going to restore the relationship. You're not going to forgive in a spirit of meekness. You're not going to examine yourself because you think you're the only one right and everybody else is wrong. That is a mark of a carnal Christian, because the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore in a spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. A spiritual person understands that at any moment, I could destroy my life. I could mess up horribly today. And you say, Pastor, you're a pastor. Yes, but I'm still a human. I still have flesh in me. I still could yield to my feelings. I could still, and by the way, I do at times. But God has given us a better way. He has given us the truth of His word. So we classify ourselves based on how we respond to His truth. We've dealt with that. But today I want to look at, we find in verse number 15, but he that is spiritual. Just saying that's like a breath of fresh air. You know, I love being around spiritual people. And you know what? When you're around someone spiritual, you know it. You know why? Because they're weird. They're different. They're different people. They think different. They talk different. And they act different. It's refreshing. And by the way, people that are trying to live spiritual lives know when they're in the presence of someone that's spiritual. But they also know when they're in the presence of someone carnal or lost. So how do you know? We classify ourselves. The spiritual man. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. You know what that means? He's understanding all things. He's trying to understand all things. That word judges means he's understanding things. He understands. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You know what that means? It means people don't understand them. You know, I'll be 47 next week. This week, my soul, 47. I can't say I'm married to an older woman anymore after. Well, she's still older, but boy, she don't look older, amen? I better stop right there. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm 47, and I started to run a rabbit there and I got lost. The spiritual person classifies themselves just as the natural and the carnal man does. You say, well, Pastor, how do we classify? Well, this is done by the test of his or her ability to receive and understand revealed truth. Now, I want you to notice something. The verses that I read is very important. This is where I'm going to ask you, you got to stay with me. Because I normally don't preach like this. This is kind of teachy. I'm more of a preacher, but I've become teachy through this because I feel like if we're not careful, we'll miss it. But the Bible says that I'm not speaking to you in the wisdom of men. He said, I don't want you to understand just in the knowledge of man. The Bible says for in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man? So in other words, we as human beings, we have human knowledge about things. By the way, that's what education's about. You go to university, you go to school, so you can be strengthened in human knowledge. You want to be able to read, you want to be able to write, you want to be able to spell, you want to be able to learn true science and history. By the way, history is a very important, I think, for me, the most important subject that a young person can be taught. That's one of the reasons why our history is being attacked today. You learn from your mistakes from history. You don't erase your history. I'm glad I didn't erase all of my history because I would have not learned some wonderful lessons by my mistakes. But history is a great teacher because whatever has happened will happen again. And so history is a great teacher. And so we can become very human knowledgeable, very knowledgeable in history and still not understand the things of God. Now, I've said this many times. Education's important. I'm for spelling. I'm for reading. I'm for all of those things. But me learning how to read will not give me wisdom on who to marry. That only comes from God. So we have to have a wisdom from God that only God can give. See, we put so much stock in human knowledge. Oh, I tell you what, have you seen his grades? Wonderful. But just because he makes great grades doesn't mean he's going to win a wonderful life. Or live. He could, but his life is going to be lived successful based on what he does with spiritual truth. For instance, I'll give an example. I have been at the bedside of people that have died. Now let's make this thing real. Let's make it tangible. I've been at the bedside by many people that have died. I mean, I have been with them when they've taken. I have been around the family, around the beds of dear, precious people dying. Now, this is when it gets real because they know that they're getting ready to leave this earth. And if you're getting ready to leave this earth, you're not going to be dealing with frivolous things. You're not going to be dealing with things that don't matter. You're going to be setting things in order, and you're going to be concerned about the real things of life. And you know what? I've never heard of one of them talk about their house. I've never one of them told about what kind of money they made. I've never heard one of them talk about how much their 401k. The only thing I've ever heard these people say when they're getting ready to pass this life and go to heaven or hell is they've worried about how they've lived their life. They want to make sure when they die, they go to heaven. They want to make sure that their relationships are right. My dear precious grandfather that passed away, he was a difficult man. He was a very tough man to talk to. He wasn't the most easiest man to talk to about spiritual things. I realized he was spiritually discerned. He didn't understand them. But he was a good man. He fought for our country in World War II. He was a man's man. But he had broken relationships all through his life. Just a line of broken relationships all through life. And I'll never forget the night that he passed away. We were all there at the hospital, my mother, my father, and I was there, and others were there. And he was laying there in that bed, and we should have known. His eyes were set. You know all he cared about? Now, living, you know what all he cared about? He wanted to make sure he had a new car. A new car was important to Grandpa. God bless him. He lectured me for months for going to Bible college. God bless his heart. He was worried about me. He said, what kind of a living you going to make going and preaching in a church? He didn't understand those things, see? And I got frustrated with him every once in a while. God bless him. I do believe he trusted Christ as Savior. His life changed in that last few months, last year. And I'll never forget, his eyes were set laid in that hospital bed. He looked up at his son. Dad was his oldest son. Mike was there. His youngest son was there. I'll never forget what he said. He looked at Dad. He said, "I just want to make sure everything's okay with me and my boys." I didn't hear him talking about a car. I didn't hear him talk about all the relationships that he thought was so important. I'm going to tell you what he was worried about. He's worried about the spiritual then, see. And that's where we're all going to end up. So instead of waiting on our deathbed to be interested in spiritual things, it's time we get interested in them now. Why are we wasting time? It's like the elephant in the room nobody wants to talk about. But to me, I'm comfortable talking about the elephant in the room. I get uncomfortable when we talk about everything else and we minimize the most important things, our spiritual lives. See, a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, they understand. They compare everything spiritual to spiritual. They're not just interested in human knowledge. They need to have human knowledge. You need to know how to read. You know, I know how to write. You ought to gain knowledge. And with the way we live today or the resources we have today, you can be so knowledgeable about things. But that's not what makes our life a success. It's our relationship to the Lord, spiritual. And a spiritual person, the Bible says, he understands things. But very few people understand them. Now, I want you to know, trying to be a spiritual person and desiring to let God speak to their heart, you are going to be misunderstood. You're going to get hurt. Because sometimes the people you love the most don't understand you. Sometimes it brings more of a target on your back because you're trying to compare spiritual things with spiritual, and when you're dealing with someone that's only dealing with feelings or dealing with their flesh, they're going to look at you and think, "Oh, what's he, holier than thou?" No, we're not trying to be holier than thou. We're just trying to help you to understand or to help me to understand there's more what's going on here than what you see. So the spiritual man. Now here you go in verse 15, he judgeth all things. He discerns the spiritual truth. Now remember, he says earlier, it's a mystery. God speaks in a mystery. To who? How does God speak in a mystery? Well, he speaks in a mystery because if you do not have the Spirit of God, you're not going to understand it. So it's a mystery to lost people. And sadly, it's a mystery to many Christians because they're just not interested in letting him to reveal more to them. You know why sometimes we do that? Because it cramps our style. If we know truth, now we're accountable for it. Can I say the spiritual man is not scared of truth? The spiritual woman is not scared of truth. Now, let's look at the progression here. Here's where I get teaching now. Let's dissect this chapter. Number one, let's look at the progression. Now, we're talking about ye which are spiritual. I would hope that would be our finished goal. We all desire to be spiritual. I hope you desire to be spiritual. I want our church to be spiritually minded. I want our church and every member, therefore, in it to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we're going to talk a lot about the filling of the Spirit of God in weeks to come. But let's look at the progression in this chapter. Let's just let the Bible speak for itself. And you say, "Well, Pastor Mark, I can't understand the Bible." We better find out why. Because if you can't understand the Bible, then that you need to check. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because again, we know that you can't understand certain things unless it's revealed to you by the Spirit. So let's look at it. Number one, look at verse 9 and 10. Chapter 2. But as it is written, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Notice verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." So, divine revelation has been given. Here's what I mean by that. The Spirit reveals spiritual truth. If we do not have the Spirit, we will not understand spiritual truth. We will not understand the deep things of God, because the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ears heard." So a natural man that only can see and hear, they're not going to understand spiritual things because they do not have the Spirit that will reveal. But I want you to know this morning that it does not have to be a mystery. It has been revealed by His Spirit. Are you with me? Number two. The revelation is of deep things of God. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah, what's that next phrase? The deep things of God. Are you interested in the deep things of God? And by the way, the deep things of God is like, "Oh, Heavenly Father up in heaven, who can know Thee?" You know, some of these religious people, man, they put you to sleep. "Oh, Heavenly Father." They're like talking the deep things of God. No, the deep things of God is how I'm going to survive today. That's the deep things of God. How am I going to survive today? How am I going to forgive someone when they cut my heart open? Those are the big things of God. Those are the deep things of God. How do I make a decision? The deep things of God. Who should I marry? That's the deep things of God. Not the whole Heavenly Father up in heaven, who can know Thee. I thank God I know Him by His Spirit. See, some people get so scared, like, "Oh, I'll tell you what, man, I can't go to church, man. They know everything. Look, we don't know as much as you think." Come on, let's just be real. Some people are scared to, "Oh, I tell you what, I can't go to church." Well, if you know what I know, you'd be here. You know, I've been here 12 years. You know what? We got some just real people here. Somebody say amen. We have failed. We've seen some successes. Hey, we got some sinners sitting right here in this seat, and I'm going to shock all of you. You got the biggest one standing up here preaching to you. Let's just keep it real. Right? Scared to death to go to church. Why? Why are you scared to go to church? We all come to church because we need help. Away with this silly stuff. "Oh, I'm not good enough." Ain't none of us good enough. But the divine revelation has been given. The revelation of these deep things of God. Here's the truth. Here's the progression. You can know them. I can know them. Are you interested in knowing the deep things of God? Are you? That's a good question to ask. Are you? However, here it is. You can't know them. God very clearly says in verse 10, you can't know them. But here's the good news. Y'all ready? No amens now. Don't get excited. Don't let me see no enamel. Some of you say, "Bless God, you ain't." Y'all ready? Here it is. But the Spirit knows them. You don't know them. I don't know them. But you know what? Here it is. The Spirit knows them. So I better get in tune with the Spirit, hadn't I? Number three, here's the good news. That same Spirit indwells every believer. He indwells every Christian so that they may know the deep things of God. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Notice this, that we might, what's this word? What's that next word? Know. Well, I think maybe it's right, Pastor. No. That you may know. Y'all know what? I know I'm 46. I know it. It's a fact. I know I'm married to that woman right down there named Laura Faith Jones Brennan. It's a fact. You don't have to convince me of that. And God says you can know the truth. And here's what He said. You might know the things that are freely given. See, it's no longer a mystery now. He wants you to understand the deep things of God. That's why He gave us the Spirit of God. So we see the Spirit indwells every believer so that we may know the deep things of God. He desires to reveal these great spiritual truths. He desires to reveal His mysteries to us. It's amazing when He starts doing it. Let's look at the progression. Look at verse 4, or number 4. The divine wisdom is hidden. Y'all stay with me now. The divine wisdom from God is hidden. Now look here, in these words. God's wisdom is hid in these words. Just black and white, no pictures. But do you understand? When you hold this book, You are holding the wonderful words of life. And although you might have human knowledge that you can actually read this book and read, because see, human knowledge gives you the human knowledge. Someone taught you to read human knowledge so you can read these books. But here's the amazing thing about it. You can read these words and not understand what you're reading. Because see, this divine truth has to be revealed to you by His Spirit. You have to know Him. The divine wisdom is hidden in the very words of God, but the spiritual content of these words are understood and only known, and is one able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Look at verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. You know, I can get up here and I can tell y'all how to catch a fish. We have some in here who could teach you a little better. But I can teach. If you want to go trout fishing, it probably wouldn't take us long. We're going to catch some fish. You're going to be jerking lips on some trout. I have a little bit of human knowledge about that. I know where to go. I know when the water. I know what to use. I can teach you that. I can help you with that. But that's human knowledge. That ain't going to help me get to heaven. Why? Because we have to understand spiritual truth. We have to be able to understand spiritual things. So the divine wisdom is hidden in these books, and the only way we must have the spiritual mind, we must be in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to understand these words. Here's what's amazing. I sat in church for 21 years. Y'all hear me now. I sat in church 21 years. You know what? Never tapped in. I just went because I had to. I sat back there like most people do today. Man, is he going to hurry up? I'm hungry. I'll tell you what, I know this, but I've heard this all before. Well, my question is what's it doing to us? Oh, it's a great message, Pastor. What made it great? I made you cry? You laughed? I had some. What makes it great? No, it's not great till it changes us. I'm going to tell you what it does. It should cut us. Man, God, you love me enough to tell me something I need to hear. I don't like it, but you know what? I want to hear that. I want to listen. And here's amazing. Y'all ready? Here's what a spiritual person says. Yes. Yes, Lord. So the divine wisdom is hidden in every word of God's book. Number five, quickly. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. A man that is lost, has never been saved, he has no way of understanding. So let me just say this. If I'm up here today and you don't understand a word I'm saying, you better check what you have. I'm just being honest. I'm not being ugly. I'm not calling you silly. And I'm not saying that I'm smart. But I'm telling you right now, if this is like me speaking Japanese to you, there's a problem. Because someone that has the Spirit of God in them, there are things being revealed to you right now. But if you think this is foolish, if you don't understand what I'm saying, then you, and look, and I'm being that with all kindness, you better check what you have. Because if the Spirit of God indwells in you, there are things resonating with you, and you're going, that's right, yes, yes, I understand that better now, yes, right. The Spirit's speaking to you, He's revealing these words, you're going, now I get things like light bulbs start kind of flashing, like, oh, that makes sense, yeah, I got it. But if you're sitting there going, I'm wasting my time here, you better check what you have. If you're not interested in what I have to say, you better check what you got. Because I'm going to tell you what a natural man, this is foolish and I don't understand it. When's lunch? They simply do not have the Spirit of God. But here's the good news. You can have Him today. Because see, here's the other thing the Holy Spirit does, and we'll talk about later. But He convicts you. You know what He does, boy? He starts showing you things where you're wrong. And like when I got saved, I knew I was lost. You know, when I got saved, I was 5 years old. You say, oh, you was a hardened criminal at 5 years old. No, I wasn't a hardened criminal, but I knew I'd lied. I knew I had stolen. I knew I had lied to my parents. I knew I did things wrong. And man, I'll tell you what, when I sat in that church service that morning, that preacher started preaching, and I'm telling you right back, I was sitting right back here in the second row from the back on this side. The church I went to was half this size. Boy, I'm going to tell y'all right now, if y'all could have seen me, I was squirming back there. Boy, I was going, man, I think I'm lost. I don't know the Lord. My parents are saved, and they brought me to church all these years, but I just stole, and I wasn't sorry about it. And boy, I got under conviction. As soon as that service was over, you know what? I said, Mom, I need to get saved. And I thank God I had a mama that knew God. She took me home, and we lived right across the street. She took me in, set me down on the edge of that couch, and I remember she opened John 3:16 to me, and she said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And for the first time, I realized I needed to get saved. And for the first time, I trusted, and the only time that someone needs to trust Christ. You only trust Christ once, amen? Well, I was under conviction that day, and I said, Lord, I need you to save me. And so she helped me even to pray. But she said, Mark, you're not praying to me. She said, you're calling out to the Lord in faith, and you're trusting him as your Savior. And boy, that day as a five-year-old boy, I put everything I had in Jesus. I just trust him. I said, Lord, I'm an old sinner. I want to trust you as my Savior. I believe you went to the cross for me. I believe you died for me. I'm trusting you, Lord. The Bible says that faith justified me in the sight of God. I became a Christian as a five-year-old boy. And that moment, the Holy Spirit came and indwelled my body, and he started to instruct me in the wisdom of God. Many times I ignored it. But a natural person will not understand the things of God. But if you're lost today, I got good news for you. You're in a good place. You can be saved today, and I wouldn't walk out this door and not know it. Number six, a carnal Christian is born again, they're saved, they're a believer in Christ. They possess the indwelling Holy Spirit, but his carnality, in other words, his or her flesh is dominating them, and they're not letting the Spirit dominate them. And it hinders the full ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and my life. Can I give you some little signs of that? Statements like this. Well, I know, but. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. No but. If God says it, it's for you and for me. Listen to me, I'm not being ugly. I don't care how you was raised. I don't care what your culture is. You know, we live in a day now, I'm going to be honest with you, this critical race theory is just busting at the seams. And here's what's amazing. People are fighting over something they can't even change. I didn't pick to be a white male. So you're going to blame me for being a white male? That's the silliest thing I ever heard. By the way, I was taught you don't base a man's character on the color of his skin. I base the man's character on the base of how he lives his life. I would be hurt today if my son or daughter was told they're not going to get a fair shake just for the simple color of their skin. We're shelling them short. No, they have as many opportunities as anybody if they're willing to work for it. Silliest thing I ever heard. But see, people that are doing that, they're trying to divide our country. And by the way, they're doing it. But you know what? Spiritual man, he doesn't care. By the way, a spiritual man doesn't look at a man's color of his skin. Here's how he classifies him. Is he saved? Does he know the Lord? Is he a carnal Christian? By the way, God says he loved all men. He died for all men. So a spiritual man recognizes the fact that his worth, he's as worthy as I am because Jesus died for him too. So the spiritual man, see, but a carnal man, here's like, well, I know what the Bible says and all, but here's how I was taught. I'm sorry, I don't care how you was taught. I don't care what part of the country you lived in. If the Bible says it, the Bible's right and you're wrong. I don't care. And I hear it all the time, well, but. No, it doesn't matter what but is. God's word, but pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I know what the Bible says. He tells me to forgive. But I just don't feel like it. Okay, well, let's deal with your feelings. Let's deal with your feelings, and what does God say? God's word trumps my feelings every second. Now, let's just get real. I don't like that. I like holding grudges, and so do you. I like telling people how bad somebody is and what they've done to me. And so do you. Your flesh loves it. Your flesh craves it. But the Spirit is saying, oh no, there's a better way. Forgive. You know the most miserable people in this world is carnal Christians. And I'm going to tell you this, they're dangerous too. Carnal Christians are dangerous people. I'm going to tell you why. Because they know the cliches. They know enough to get people off their back. They say these little statements like, well, yeah, but you know, and by the way, if you're in front of a spiritual person, they might not ever call you on it, but they're not dumb. They know. When I try to con somebody, I have people in my life that are sharper than that. See, that's what the Bible says. A spiritual person, they judge all things. They're discerning. So when I've tried to go, could y'all help me? Y'all pray for me. If I try to go to my wife, y'all pray for me. Could y'all imagine me going to her on any day of the week and say, honey, I'll just tell you right now, this ministry stuff's hard. This minute, I just think I'm going to quit. Y'all pray for me. Y'all with me? Looky here. Scared of y'all, nothing. I get a sermon y'all ain't never heard. I'm going to tell you why. I can't con her. Well, I'll tell you right now, honey, you just need to feel sorry for me. They just don't understand me. Here's what my wife's going to say. Well, honey, the Bible does say that a spiritual man judgeth all things, but he's not judged of any man. Isn't that what, boy, just even the sound of that, it cuts, don't it? Well, Mark, you're on the right track if people don't understand you. Well, where's my pity party, honey? Ain't getting one. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. You know why? We love pity parties. But pity parties hurt us. Pity parties help us fail. Pity parties are just an excuse not to do the right thing. Can you imagine how many times people get mad at the preacher? Y'all walk in my shoes a few days. I got to tell people the truth. And I've learned no matter how, by the way, sometimes I don't say it very good. But I've learned most of the time, people don't get mad at me because of how I say it. They get mad at me and upset because of what I say. You know, if I'm doing wrong, I don't like hearing truth. How many of you older people used to have to take castor oil? Would y'all raise your hand? Would you raise it real high? How many of y'all like that stuff? Would you keep your hand up? But wasn't you told that it's good for you? How many of y'all ever had to take liquid amoxicillin? Anybody ever? Y'all think that stuff tastes good? No, but if you have strep throat, the thing that doesn't taste good is what you need. Somebody say amen. We understand that in medicine, but why can't we get that in the spiritual world? Well, I can't go to the preacher. Well, why not? When you get sick, you go to the doctor. And he prescribes things that you don't like. Sometimes you got to go to the preacher, and he's going to prescribe things you don't like either. But I'll try to do it in love. But I'll tell you this, this is always the answer. But see, a carnal Christian, oh, I know what the Bible says, but. Or here's another one, here's another good one. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. You know, I've been analyzing that statement for quite some time. I'll tell you right now, you or nobody's going to tell me what to do. I got to thinking about that, and that kind of sounds like, man, I'll tell you what, they're pretty serious about that. They're really, nobody's going to tell them what to do. But you know what I got to thinking about that? You know what that really means? I know what they mean. They mean that no person, Brother Larry, if I look at you and say, Brother Larry, you ain't going to tell me what to do. But what if Brother Larry's telling me what God's telling me? You know what we've told? We just mean that in the physical. Oh, I ain't going to listen to you. Well, you know what you know when I say I'm not going to listen to nobody, you know what I'm really saying? I'm not going to listen to God if he speaks to me. Come on now. Because you know what? God uses people. You know how three ways God speaks to you? Y'all ready? Number one, by his word. He'll speak to you by his word. Number two, he'll speak to you in circumstances. He really will. He'll use circumstances to speak to you. But number three, he uses people. And when you say, Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, that sounds spiritual and everything, but listen to me. Really, it's not, because you've just told me and told whoever you've told that. You're not even going to listen to God if he speaks to you. God help us. But then lastly, I want to say, here's the seventh progression. He that is spiritual, he discerneth all things. He can freely receive and understand the things of God. He also is able to understand them as other men into the subjects of human knowledge. Yet, he's discerned. Quite simply put, he's not understood by most people. It makes perfect sense. He's trying to have the mind of Christ. A spiritual man wants the mind of Christ in that thing. What would the Lord want me to do here? For instance, we've never made a move. We've never moved, and we've moved a lot. But we've never made a move till we got clearance and peace from God. It amazes me, a lot of carnal people, they look at a dollar sign or they look at an opportunity. No, wait a minute. A spiritual man is going to discern all that and say, hey, this might be good for my bank account, but it could be horrible for my family. It amazes me. People are choosing to go to universities and colleges all over America. And by the way, I'm for education, but it amazes me. Christian families will spend 20-some thousand dollars for a semester, and they will send their child to a school that has the best education program, but not nary a church for them to attend. They can get all that education they want to, but if they don't keep their heart right, they're going to ruin their life. Let's be honest. Come on now. Spiritual things. Everything is spiritual to the spiritual person. You just don't make decisions. That decision has a consequence. We're setting things in motion with that decision we make. Spiritual. A spiritual man discerns that. He wants to discern that. Now, I'm going to close. I must highlight two spiritual changes, two great spiritual changes that can happen to every person. Number one, I'm going to close. Y'all ready? The change from the natural man, the lost man, the unsaved man, the huge change that takes place from the lost man to getting saved. That is a huge jump. If you're lost here today, the greatest change in your life is get saved. You have now the opportunity to understand things. Church won't be as boring. I told someone this the other day. We had an atheist. No one here knew it. But we had an atheist come to this church. Years ago, his mother was dying. I did not know this man real well, but I knew his grandparents. I went into the hospital, and I had prayer with this dying lady. And I knew that this young man was an atheist. And when I went in, I introduced who I was, and I said, I'd like to pray with your mother. And very sharply, he said to me, she's sleeping. Don't wake her up. I said, I won't. I said, but can I have prayer with you? I prayed very softly. I prayed with him, prayed for his mother. She passed. A few months later, out of necessity, he had to come and live with his grandparents for a little while. Well, living with his grandparents, they attended church here, so he had to come. He attended this church. He told me right on the outset, he said, you know that I'm an atheist? He said, you know, I have nothing to do with anything you're peddling here. But he said, I have to come. I said, well, God bless you for coming. He started coming. About a month later, he comes to my office. I said, come on in. He said, can I talk to you a minute? I said, sure can. He said, I just want you to know something. He said, you know that I told you I'm an atheist. He said, and I never knew you could know God. And he said, I didn't even know there was a God. But he said, you know what? My mind's starting to change a little bit. He said, I'm struggling here. I said, here's what I said. I didn't impress him. I said, well, look here. Just keep coming. And I said, you're rationalizing everything with a spirit, with a human mind. I said, things will open up when you get saved, because then you will have the opportunity not to just see it through a human mind. You'll be able to understand the spiritual things because the Spirit of God. And just for a few weeks, he started coming. Next thing you know, boy, one Sunday, down the aisle, he got saved. A couple months later, he comes into my office. He says, can I talk to you a minute, Pastor? He walks in. He says, I get it now. So if the light's not on, the light can be turned on. Jesus will do that for you. He loves you. He died to save you. He'll help you understand all things if you'll trust him today. Things will start making sense. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Would you raise your hand? See, we're a bunch of crazy people. But then number two, this great change from a carnal Christian to a spiritual one. God help us. This is what I truly desire. Why? Because this is accomplished to a real adjustment to the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Example, the Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved. Brother Mike, I truly believe he became spiritual the moment he got saved. He yielded to the Spirit of God the day he got saved, because here's what he said. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And it doesn't look, as you read through the whole life of Paul, that that yieldness ever left. He said, what will you have me to do? He seemed never to turn from the yielding to Christ. You say, Pastor, I'm going to talk about this at length, but what does it mean to be a spiritual? You're yielded to the Spirit of God. You're just saying yes to Him, even when you don't like it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But you know what they did. I know. But the Holy Spirit of God's encouraging you to forgive. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. My life's a mess. I know it's a mess, but it don't have to be. You can yield to the Lord. He'll guide you. You know, the spiritual man, here it is. It's a better way, children. It's a better way. How many of y'all want to live life better? With discernment and wisdom and discerning things and understanding things, like the light just comes on. So much of a better grade of life. And I desire that for you. I desire that for your children. I desire that for me. And by the way, God desires it more. But the spiritual man, he is yielded to the Lord. And I want to say, the spiritual man is the divine ideal for life, for ministry, for relationships, to be spiritual. Oh, to discover these realities should be our desire. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Where are you at? What's important to you? Do you want to know and understand the deep things of God? He wants to reveal them to you. He wants you to live life in a better way, a better grade, above the snake line, see, is what the spiritual life is. I desire that. But we must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Could we stand on our feet this morning as we close? Would you just quietly, would you examine your heart? Look, I've been in this 25 years. I've seen and heard the horror stories. I guess after 25 years of ministry, my shock value, my shock reflex has kind of went away. Because I've kind of seen it all, I think. I've seen it all and heard it all. It's been amazing to me, the heartbreak in people's lives. I can trace every one of them to this principle. When you come to church and you hear the truth and you walk out these doors and simply do nothing with it, you're going in a very dangerous, dangerous path. And I'm going to be honest with you, you never dream it will get as bad as it can get, but it goes there. So the answer is this, say yes to the Lord. With head bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor Mark, I know today the Spirit of God has touched something in my life. I know it. Would you not be ashamed? You say, that's me. Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to ask you to do anything with it, but you raise your hand. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Say yes to the Lord. Yield it to the Lord. That's being spiritual. Just say, yes, Lord. And then don't go back. Just say, yes, Lord. Number two, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Mark, I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. And by the way, you should be concerned. There's no shame here, but you be honest with me. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up where I can see it? Is there anyone like that this morning? Can I ask this question? Do we have any folks here today that desire to be a spiritual person, that desires to discern all things, to have the mind of Christ? Is anyone like that this morning? Why don't you come, find a place around this altar, whatever the Lord's dealt with you about. Would you find a place? The altar's open. Would you come? They're going to begin to play. Would you come? Don't tarry. Just say yes to the Lord. Make your pew an altar. Say, Lord, help me. You've spoken to me. Help me say yes. I know it's hard. Our flesh is tough. When our feelings get hurt, boy, they get hurt. God help us. You with your spiritual. Come back tonight. We're going to look at the spiritual man. And we're going to look at the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. What does that mean and what He does in our lives and hearts? So very important. Then we're going to look at the production, or what does the Holy Spirit produce in a Spirit-filled man?